Planning a mission trip for your group can be really hard, so we created a super simple process to make it easy. Learn more today at blueskymissions.org. You're listening to the Student Ministry Podcast. If you're a youth pastor, small group leader, college pastor, or even a parent, this podcast is for you. Whether you're looking for tools and resources or encouragement and wisdom, you've come to the right place. Here's your host, Kenny Ortiz.
Greetings and welcome in to the Student Ministry Podcast. I'm your host, Kenny Ortiz, coming at you from the beautiful metropolis of Orlando, Florida. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Student Ministry Podcast today. Super stoked to dive into a very important topic. This is episode number 10. We're going to be talking about a very spiritual topic. That's right. The topic of text messaging, right? There's no topic that is more theologically rich than the topic of text messages, right? Okay, obviously I'm kidding and being silly, but there's no doubt that the topic of text messaging is important because anyone who works with teenagers and young adults knows the importance of utilizing text messages because the current millennial generation or even the tail end of the previous generation before that, the Gen Xers, and certainly everyone younger than those generations are people that love to text message, and no doubt it has become the primary way that many people do communicate. And so I think it's important for those of us who work in student ministry to be aware of maybe some of the trends in text messaging, as well as some of the apps and services available that can help us utilize this as a tool in our tool belt as we seek to develop inroads and relationships and expand ministry to high school, middle school, and college students. So excited to dive into an interview with a friend of mine, Dan Sanchez, to talk about text messaging. A few quick items before we dive into the interview. Thank you to all of you who have subscribed. There's a chunk of you that have recently hit that subscribe button. Thank you very much. If for some reason you're listening to this because you discovered the podcast on some other format, maybe someone shared it on social media, and you are not subscribed, I want to highly encourage you head on over to whatever podcast catching app you're familiar with. Hit the subscribe button. It's the only way to guarantee you never miss an episode and to have every episode delivered directly to your device. Encourage you to check that out. Hit the subscribe button as soon as possible. Also, if you are a listener, you've already subscribed and you've enjoyed anything you've heard, I would ask you a huge favor. Leave a review if you're someone that is inclined and willing to do that. Head on over to whatever directory or app you're familiar with. Leave a review, in particular if you're an Apple user, because we have most of our listeners come from the iTunes directory. So if you're an Apple user and you're using iTunes on your iPhone, iPad, iPod, or even on the desktop software, can you head on over and leave a review and a 5-star rating? Tell the world that you love the Student Ministry Podcast. Leave a review. Those are a big, big help. In fact, there are very few things you can do that would be a better boost and a better help to the podcast. Leave a review. It pushes us up the search rankings, and it's a big help in terms of helping us reach more people. So thank you in advance. All right, let's dive into the world of text messaging. I've got an interview with a guy by the name of Dan Sanchez today. He is a part of the marketing team at a college in Minnesota. You're going to hear him talk about that a little bit in the interview. Before we dive into the interview, before Dan gives you a lot of his good stuff and kind of his guru brain and some of his great strategic and savvy thinking, I want to answer a question off the top that people ask on a regular basis. People have asked me loads of times, hey, is there an app I can use that allows me to send out mass text messages without them being in group messaging? And the answer is yes. Now, I know there are some settings you can change in your iPhone by default for group messaging or to turn off group settings. You can do that. So that's one way if you know how to mess with the Apple settings. But I think it's easier to just use a third-party app that's designed specifically for that. There are several. The one I've come across that is well worth your time and energy and the couple bucks it costs is an app called Mass Text Message. It's Mass, M-A-S-S, Text, T-E-X-T, right? It's the same. And then Message is just M-S-G. So it's Mass Text MSG. And then I'll have a link to the website for that app or the link where you can get that app on the show notes or in the show notes for this episode. And so what that app allows you to do is simply put a bunch of people in list. You can take all of your contacts and you can send one text message out to hundreds of people, but it sends it to them individually rather than a group message. You know, I hate when you send a group text and you don't want to, but people respond, and then some people get upset, and then you have different types of phones out there, the Androids and the iPhones, and some people have the group setting, some don't. You can kind of bypass all that, you know, rigmarole, all that headache if you just get a good app. And so that's the one I use. It's great. There's a free version of it. I think there's a premium version. It's a couple bucks, less than $5. I probably should have looked it up before I started recording this interview, right? But I didn't. Apologize. But you can go in, check that app out. Again, it's called MassText MSG. And I think that'll be really valuable to you. Hey, so today we're going to interview Dan Sanchez. He's a friend of mine. Him and I work together, or is it he and I? I said him and I, or is it he? I'm not sure. I don't have good grammar. I never promised that, right? We promised the Student Ministry Podcast would be a resource to you. I never promised it would be that it would be good grammar. And so anyway, Dan and I worked together at a large Christian nonprofit in Texas for several years. He and I had a chance to overlap, and we have a lot of mutual friends, so I've got a chance to know a lot about Dan. I've had multiple conversations with him, and each time I walk away thinking to myself, this dude is a great thinker. I really appreciate his way of thinking, and I think you guys are going to have the same thought. Like I mentioned a moment ago, Dan is currently a part of the marketing team at Bethany Global University. You're going to hear him talk a little bit about that in the interview. He is primarily responsible for a variety of marketing initiatives that use a lot of their digital footprint, or the expansion of their digital footprint. And Dan and his team have been able to boost enrollment at the school by dramatic numbers by using a variety of marketing, you know, campaigns and a variety of pieces of technology, but primarily through effective use of text messaging. Like, literally, the school is growing leaps and bounds way more than they've ever had before, and it's mostly because Dan and his team have effectively been using text messaging. And I thought, let's bring him on and have a conversation about text messaging. Maybe his wisdom and experience could be valuable to youth pastors and college pastors. And so I want to, you know, bring him on. I think it's going to be really good stuff. I do want to just apologize in advance. Sincere apology. I had some technical issues with Dan. We ended up having to do the interview by phone. So literally, I was using my iPhone and he was using his phone in Minnesota, and we were recording iPhone to iPhone. It wasn't any good. So it's just regular phone call quality. In fact, it's actually probably a step below typical phone call quality because we just are having a lot of technical issues. Again, I sincerely apologize. I hate that happened, but I didn't want to bug Dan and ask him to do it again. And I also didn't want to not give you the content. There have been times before on my other podcast when the quality wasn't good and we ended up not posting it, but I thought the quality for this was just good enough where I could still post it, but I thought Dan's wisdom and content was really good, and I think it's really worth pushing through. So I want to encourage you, push through some of the bad audio, audio quality, and listen in to what Dan has to say, because I really think it'll be valuable for you as you endeavor to use text messaging as a tool in your ministry. So without further ado, my interview with Dan Sanchez.
We are on the line with Daniel Sanchez from the beautiful metropolis of Minneapolis, Minnesota. Dan, thanks for joining us today. How are you feeling, brother?
I'm good, Ken. How's it going?
Oh, man, it's great in Orlando. I mean, it's just as humid in Minnesota this time of year as it is in Orlando. I mean, it's what I've been told, at least. But in a few months, that won't be the case, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of come out in the summer, and you guys kind of come out in the winter, right? So we just kind of switch roles.
That's how we roll. Sweet. Well, as I mentioned in the intro just a moment ago, Dan is a part of a great ministry there. And so, Dan, before we dive in and talk about digital tools and text messaging, give our audience kind of a 20-second version of who you are, what you do, and how'd you end up in Minneapolis doing what you do right now.
Certainly. So I am the director of marketing for Bethany Global University. It is a unique school in that we only have one program, and that's to train missionaries for long-term missions. We also have a discipleship program that mentors and develops young people. So in my role in the university is obviously just recruiting students and using new and innovative ways of reaching young people, because the way young people connect with the world is changing all the time. It's always fun to try new things and stay on the cutting edge of figuring out how to connect with young people.
And I'm sure that's a super easy job, right? Like, it doesn't take any, you know, research or hard work. I'm just messing around. Of course it does. Fake laughs work. And so, man, I've known Dan for several years. We actually worked together at a nonprofit in Texas for several years and overlapped there. And so got a chance to know Dan a little bit and some of his innovative thinking. And so, Dan, take it away, man. Tell us, if today you stepped out of your role as marketing director at Bethany and you stepped into a youth pastor role somewhere in, you know, kind of typical city in the United States, what would be some of the things that you focus on when it comes to expanding digital footprint and using the digital space to connect with students?
You know, I knew you'd ask me that question, so I had to spend some time thinking about it. What would I do as a youth pastor to connect with young people? And more and more often, I'm trying to try a plethora of channels to figure out where can I best reach them? Where can I best connect with them, even for just announcements, to reach new people? How do I do it? Where do I go? And what I found is I've tried multiple things now, and I find that social media isn't getting quite the reach that it used to get for me. I might be able to get people to like my page or follow me on Twitter, but if they're not checking it regularly or Facebook's not ranking my posts quite well, I'm only reaching a small percentage of people. So I find more and more I'm actually leaning to some older technologies that still reach them quite effectively. The primary one being text messages. It's one of those things where people, on average, check it within 15 minutes of getting the text message. So when I send out a text blast or even texting young people individually, they respond, and they do it quickly, unlike social media where they might be able to just see it and not engage with it. When a text message is personal, it's a very personal channel because they're not there to connect with all their friends. They're usually just connecting with a dozen or two dozen people at a time. So when you enter that space, you're much more likely to get a response, much more likely for them to see it. Marketing at Bethany Global University, we found our conversion rates of being able to actually just connect with the young people that are interested in the university have gone through the roof.
Wow. And you think that is mostly just because it's the personal level of it, or are there any other reasons why that might be maybe more, or quicker to connect with people than through any other means?
I think there's a few factors to it. I think it's one, because it's installed on every phone. Everyone's got it set up by default. It's backwards compatible with the old phone, so it drips right into the smartphones. Everyone knows how to use it. It's really simple. It's a little limited, but it's good. That makes it easy for people to use. Most people don't share phone numbers as often as they'll just, connect with people on Facebook, so it's a little bit more private and personal. In fact, I have to be careful how often I use it, just because I might, of course, I'm using it in a mass with thousands of people, so I have to be careful not to text message them too much because they might get a little angry because it is much more intimate. It's like, it's hard to unsubscribe to, though all they have to do for us is text back, stop, or unsubscribe, or stop sending anything, and we clearly unsubscribe them. The other thing is, since they're only having a few dozen conversations on them, there's just not as much stuff to see. When you send them a text, their phone buzzes. They see the little red number right next to it. And it's hard to ignore. People check it quickly. And there's not a lot of people using it for just mass broadcast, because to use it for me as a marketer, it costs a little bit of money, 2-3 cents a text. Which isn't that expensive, but because you have to pay just a little bit to use it, it kind of keeps all the spammers out from using it if you have to pay
right.
A little bit. That's the problem with email. So many people are using it because it's kind of keep broadcasting over and over again because the price is the same. Versus text messaging, you don't see the kind of same spam people spamming everyone's inbox. So there's no filters on it. There's no way to filter out messages you don't want to see, because there hasn't been a need for it.
And so you guys are using text messaging. Give our audience, just give us like a kind of a 20-second window into how you are using text messaging. Like, how do you capture a phone number, and what's the sequence of events that happen once you have that, just so that people can kind of have an idea as to kind of the usage you're typically seeing.
Yeah. So we use text messaging a lot when people request information about the university. They fill out a form on our website, requesting a brochure, and they give us a number. And we have a sophisticated system that texts them back within 15 minutes of them filling out the form. And the text, even though it's automated, at least the first one, sounds very personable. It's written to evoke a response. And as soon as they do respond, and it doesn't matter what they respond with, one of our admissions reps jumps on and keeps the conversation going. Because we find that people want to talk. If people request the information, they have questions. Now, in a youth pastor setting, I would be trying to gather numbers just in front of the youth group room and say, hey, does anyone want updates from me once or twice a week just to stay updated about events, maybe to get some inspiration throughout the week? We all know we need some inspiration throughout the week. And then you can use it to text them, I don't know, just one announcements about upcoming events to keep them in the know, or deadlines that are coming up, maybe if they need to register for camp or something like that. But also just little tidbits. So you get inspiration throughout the week, as you pray throughout the week, and you want to send out a little reminder, maybe to echo a sermon that you had just preached, or a scripture that's relevant for the day. You can actually broadcast it out, know that almost all of them will have seen it.
That's a great point. And so you're capturing them through other means. You get the phone number. It goes into a software system of some sort. Mm-hmm. Can then jump in and automatically respond and keep that conversation going between the end person and Bethany Global University. Does the potential student on the other end see it as an individual person, or they see it more as, this is Bethany? Like, is there an individual person's name that pops up? And how do they know who they're talking to? How do you handle that?
For us, I wish I could have an individual name pop up, but I still try to limit the amount of characters I send to about 140. So most of the time it's just they know it's a person. Some of them will wonder if it's a machine and they'll ask. But the funny thing is, even though the machine sent the first text, our person will get back on and respond to the question, nope, real human here, winky face. So we're always trying to make it very personable. As soon as people feel like it's a machine, then they just disengage with it. You want to be personal in your texts.
And any suggestions on how you make it more personal? Is it something as simple as just saying I'm a human, or using an emoji or smiley face or whatever it is?
Certainly. I like to use pronouns often and a lot. In fact, I use pronouns in all my marketing. And it's just strange for academia, where you want to be, you know, the third party to sound more authoritative. I try to take it in the complete opposite direction. I say you, and I refer back to me, I. Like, how are you doing? I'd love it if you came, because it sounds personal. That's how we speak in real life, and that's what you
yeah.
do in text messages, the sound as well. And I'd recommend that for anything you do, whether it's Facebook updates, emails. Lo and behold, people like to engage with people on social media and on text messages and emails. So you should write that way. You should write to be personal.
Great point, man. I think it's funny. You're right, because most of the times when you're just engaging with the digital world, there's always sort of this passive voice, or it's third person, and it's not direct. It's not talking to me directly. And it does feel like it's just generic. And so if you can say something like, hey, person, hey, whatever your name is, that makes a difference in terms of how people engage with it. That's pretty cool.
Absolutely.
So tell us, okay, so you mentioned, now I happen to know this because I know you, we've talked in the past, and I know you guys use a software program, a SaaS product that is pretty robust, Infusionsoft. You guys are still using that, I'm assuming, correct?
Certainly. Yeah,
but that's not necessarily something you would recommend for most churches and most student ministries, I would assume. That's not necessarily up their alley in most cases, right?
Yeah, Infusionsoft would be a little bit of overkill for most churches.
Yeah. So tell us, so if someone wants to do this, what software or what system ought to they use? How could they use, text messaging in an effective manner, without spending the buco bucks on a program like Infusionsoft?
Sure. So it depends on the size of your youth group. And in fact, if your youth group's small, let's say 30 and under, I would just use your own personal cell phone. You might not want to have all the teenagers like connecting with you on your own personal cell phone and text messaging, but it'll be easier to get them to opt in. They know it's you, it's your phone number. So if you call or text, you know, it's coming up as your name. It's an easy way to get started. You don't have to try to figure out any other software, and you can just test it and see if it works for you. You can also do group texts and GIFs and all that. It's just easy to start with your own smartphone. If you want to, another easy option, if you want to put some distance between you and between your personal cell phone and the youth group, is using Google Voice. One issue with Google Voice you'll find, though, is that it can only text 5 people at a time. So it takes a little bit more time, though it's free, to text, you know, a few dozen people. So that's one option. The other option is to go to a paid platform. Now, there's a lot of text messaging services out there, and it's grown in popularity. So if you just do a Google search for text message marketing service, you'll find 24 of them, and you can kind of shop and compare which ones work best. A few that I've used is Sumo Text, Trumpia, Call Loop. There's even some really low-priced ones like Simple Texting. And in fact, I even just saw less expensive ones. I can find it real quick.
So someone can just jump on Google, type in text, what's the keyword they should type in? Text message marketing?
But the keyword text message marketing are the words you want to look, and the page will just be full of different services.
Awesome. And then they can go in and then you can set that up. And then that typically then works where, you know, if you're in front of the youth group, you tell everyone to, they text a certain keyword to a certain number. Is that one of those systems, correct?
All right, say it again.
Yeah, well, you know those systems, I've seen this, and I'm just curious, are these systems the one that work basically where you get in front of a group and you say something like, send a text message to this number, and it automatically puts you into that system? Is that sort of how that works, how those platforms work?
Yep, so a lot of them will work that way. They'll have a dedicated short code, which is just a shortened number, or a long code, which is a normal phone number. And they have to text in, they'll set up a keyword, they text in, maybe it's your youth group name or your first name or something, and then that opts their phone number into the list. So that's an easy way to collect phone numbers from the front.
And then, I've used this at events. Hey, everyone text, you know, youth to 41411, and then all of a sudden they're in that loop. And so they'll be sending text messages out. Now, and you mentioned earlier you try to limit text messages to 140 characters. Is there a reason why you try to do that? Are there multiple reasons, or just more you don't want to be intrusive?
That has to do with the old technology that I think is becoming more and more out of date, so it's not as big of a deal. On non-smartphones, the text message limit is 140 characters, which is why a tweet was originally 140 characters, because Twitter was built around the idea of being able to update it from a text message before the days of smartphone when you could put an unlimited amount of characters into it. So because I'm dealing with thousands of people, I try to go to the smallest common denominator, which is those smartphones that are still committed to 140 characters. So most people with older phones now always have issues with people getting texts from smartphones, because it'll just break up the long text into multiple messages. If you've had a dumb phone recently, you've felt that pain.
I actually someone recently asked me, why do I send text messages in chunks? Like I know some people will send text messages, and what I do is, and on my iPhone, it tells you how many characters you're at. I'm not sure if it does it by default. You can go into your settings. You can actually change it to tell you, to give you the character count. It's an easy setting you can change an iPhone. And the reason is because I remember, you know, maybe a year or two ago, maybe longer than that, maybe it's been 3 or 4 years actually, now that I think about it. But I remember sending a really long text message to someone, to an Android phone, and their Android phone broke. They have an Android, it was a smartphone, but even their Android phone broke up their text messages, and it broke up out of order. So I sent a text message that ended up coming in as 4 different text messages to them, but it didn't come in the same order it should have. So it was all kind of wonky, and it was hard for them to read through it. And I remember the front, for some reason, anytime I get a long text from iPhone, it does this. And so I just got in the habit, well, even if I'm going to send a long text, I break it up into, it's 130, 140 spots, and it ends up coming through as 5 or 6 text messages, but at least it comes through in the order in which I want it to come through. It's kind of become my habit. Do you guys do similar things, or do you just kind of make it a habit to say, we just don't send a text that are longer than 140, and we just try to keep it to that point?
Yeah, I just don't send a text that's longer than 140. Now, when it comes to our admissions rep, when they're starting to engage in a dialogue, they might go over, but usually you can tell if someone else is typing from a smartphone because they're typing longer messages. Versus a non-smartphone, it's just harder to type long messages. You're still using the T9 and stuff. They're literally short and simple. So they can kind of gauge it that way. Generally, every text message I write to broadcast out, I just keep it under 140.
Makes sense. And then what are the other – any other types of things you should be sending? So you mentioned they could be sending events. Would it be smart to send things like memes, when it comes to funny graphic or spiritual graphic or things like that? If they go – are they going to have issues being sent to the lowest common denominators, you said? Are people with the old school phones going to have issues receiving those?
Some of them can. Some non-smartphones can receive memes, but not very well. I know I still text messages of my kids to my mom, and she's doesn't have a smartphone, and she can still see the pictures, though they're really, if there's text on it, it'd be hard to read. But I think memes and just images in general are pretty safe these days. It also depends on the software you pick out. If you go with one of the softwares, that'd be one of the features you'd want to look for. Can it send what's called MMS, multimedia indication, I think.
Sweet. And so if someone wants to be doing that should be something they're considering when they're looking for which platform they want to use.
Right.
Great. Dan, we thank you so much for spending chunk of time kind of talking through text messaging. Before I let you go, two quick other items I want to just kind of go over with you. The first one is, you mentioned before we started recording, you mentioned to me having kind of a web platform to send stuff out. Kind of just give us a 1-minute version of what you're talking about there. If someone wants to be sending out links, what should they be having as their home base, as you called it, you said to me?
Yeah. So every group needs a home base where they can put all the information, whether it's recent videos, references, events. People need a place to go to get the information. And it's not always easy to do on Facebook. And Facebook's constantly, they're always kind of revamping their pages. Even just recently, they changed their page layout again. So now a parent might go there and get confused about where are the events again? I don't know. Now it's in a drop down because Facebook's changing all the time. Better for you to put it on a home base that you have more control over and can keep up to date yourself. I'm a big fan of WordPress, and if you haven't played around with it, I recommend trying it out. Some people like Wix as a website builder or Squarespace. But I usually tell most people, if you're getting started with building a website for the first time, just go onto WordPress.com, set up a free blog, which is a website, and that should be where you start. If you do it on WordPress.com, you can't break it. There's no way you can mess with the code. It's pretty simple. You could even Google how to get started with WordPress.com. You'll find a dozen blog posts about it if you get stuck. But generally, they've made it pretty easy to onboard their website now, where you can start publishing blog posts to put information that comes up. Every blog post creates a unique URL that you can share on social media that you can write down for parents who need information about your youth event coming up. I think everyone just needs that place where they can stash the information, because Facebook, even though most people are on Facebook, they usually don't check out the page as often as you would think. And then the information can change, and that post from 2 months ago can get there even hard to find later.
Right. And so you're saying go set up just a cheap, easy, free web. Go to WordPress. You're basically setting up a blog. You don't have to do anything special. You can leave a plain white background if you want. Like, you don't have to do anything graphic. I mean, if you want to, you could. But you're saying, just get something basic and simple that you control and post, and basically your each blog post, rather than being an article per se, is just the bits of information. Hey, we got summer camp coming up, we got fall launch, we got, well, you know, women's event, whatever, you know, make, you can create a blog post which is corresponds with the information. So people click on that, it just gives them the info. And then each individual blog post then has a URL, which, you know, the website link. You could text that out for people to click on, and then it would bring up the page that has the info they need, correct?
That's right.
Yeah. And I know a lot of people listening to this are probably like, dude, we know a lot of this. We already do this. But you know, it's always amazing to me. I work on a lot of guys that actually aren't doing these things or don't know how to do it, and they love teenagers and they want to help. So as simple as this information may seem to a lot of people, there are a lot of dudes that are not using it effectively. And so this is really good info. Any other items that people like to know or reminders as they try to use, you know, URL to be text, or they try to send out things by text message from a blog or from a website?
Certainly. And that's the, once you create, start publishing blog posts, it's easy to, even within WordPress, to set it up in the settings to where it just automatically publishes to Twitter and to Facebook. And I think it'll even generate a short URL for you, which you can then put into a text message and broadcast it out. Most people, since you were just telling me that 91% of teenagers have smartphones now, you know that any link in a text message automatically becomes a hyperlink, which means they can just touch it and boom, it brings up the website. So even using your blog post in your text messages can be really handy if you're using the short text to kind of limit the character there. That way you actually have people reading and checking your blog.
That's fantastic, man. Dan, thank you so much. Before I let you go, hey, you know, I mentioned it in the intro quite a bit, and I know you alluded to it when we first got on the line here. Just, you know, take a few minutes and tell our people kind of what Bethany Global University is and why that should really matter to a youth pastor that loves his teenagers.
Absolutely. So Bethany Global University has been a missionary training school for over 70 years and recently became accredited. So we finally got up to the Liberties and the Moody's and the Biolas out there as far as just being accredited with the other colleges. The difference between us and them is we really only have one BA degree, and it's a double major in intercultural studies and Bible and theology. All of our students spend 16 months overseas on the field because we're trying to train long-term missionaries. It's the mission of our organization. And I'd say the best part about it is that it's tuition paid. No one pays tuition at this school. They just pay room and board. And it's great because you can graduate with a four-year degree in Bible and theology, intercultural studies, and still not have a massive amount of debt. And there's even people signing up who want to become youth pastors or want to become, I don't know, take the next step in ministry, maybe to go to an in-depth level next, who come here first just because, well, it's got a Bible and theology major and it's much less expensive. So we're growing rapidly now that we're accredited. And yeah, if you know any young people are interested in missions or even who just want to dip their toe in ministry and kind of go for that first Bible and theology major, BGU is a good place to get started.
I love that. And I will make sure we have all of the info for BGU in the show notes for this episode. But Dan, if anyone's listening to this, what's the best way for them to find out more info? What's the website or the place they ought to go to find out more info about Bethany Global?
Certainly. So to find out more, just go to BethanyGU.edu.
BethanyGU.edu. And again, that link will be in the show notes. And then Dan, if there's anyone listening to this that would love to just kind of find out more about you and kind of follow all things Dan Sanchez, what's the best way for them to do that?
They can follow my blog at danielsanchez.com. And I just blog about ministry. I have some life, just personal life things in there, and I also talk about missions.
I love that story. Love it, love it. Check out what Dan is doing. Mr. Sanchez, man, it's been great catching up and great to introduce you to our audience. I really appreciate your text messaging, digital world knowledge. I think it's going to be really valuable for a lot of guys. Thank you so much, man.
And And there you have it, my interview with Dan Sanchez. I am very thankful for Dan and his savvy thinking, his experience and wisdom. Thankful for him coming on and sharing. Hope that was valuable for you. I again apologize for the bad audio quality, but I hope that the content that Dan shared was worthwhile. It was worth pushing through the bad audio quality. Definitely in the future, we will be working hard to produce audio interviews that are better audio recording quality than that. But again, I do believe that Dan had to share was valuable and hope that was worth it for you. Also, a reminder to check out the app that I mentioned on the front end of the episode. Before we did the interview, I mentioned the Mass Text Message app. I think it'll be really valuable for you to send out group messaging text. Check that out. The link for that will be in the show notes for this episode. You can also check out all of the apps and services that Dan mentioned. Those will also be linked up in the show notes for this episode at our website. And then Dan's blog, as well as his social media and his contact info, if you want to reach out to them or connect with him, you can check out the show notes here. And then the last thing that will also be in the show notes, no doubt, will be the information about BGU and the LEAD intern program. I'm a big, big fan of gap years. And so if you're a high school leader, college pastor, anyone who works with, you know, someone who's approaching college or in college that maybe wants to expand, you know, their kind of their worldview in some ways, or kind of want to maybe a slightly different experience. They want to really get grounded in quality leadership development as well as theology. I would highly, highly encourage you to maybe, you know, prod them and push them to checking out a gap year program. And there are very few gap year programs out there in the world that I would say are better than the LEAD internship. I personally know the guys there. No, they didn't pay me to say that. They are not sponsors of the show or anything like that. They are dear friends that I trust impeccably. And so you can check out lots of information at their website, leadintern.com. And then also you can check out more info about just Bethany as a whole. They've got a variety of ministries as well as the school and the gap year program, Bethany Global University. Again, I'll have all the links for all of that stuff in the show notes for this episode at our website. Just head on over to studentministrypodcast.com. Look at the show notes for episode 10 and all those links for all of those items that we've mentioned here in this episode will be linked up in the show notes there for your convenience. And then, of course, while you're on the website, you can check out, you know, the previous 9 episodes in our archives. And then you can also check out our resources section. I've got a variety of recommended books, blogs, and podcasts, things of that nature. Check out the resources section. Again, it's studentministrypodcast.com. Thanks again for listening to this episode of the Student Ministry Podcast. So thankful for all of our listeners. I hope this has been helpful and insightful. If you have a question or a topic that you would like me to address on the podcast, I'd love to hear from you. Shoot me an email. The address is heyortiz@studentministrypodcast.com. Again, that's HEYORTIZ @studentministrypodcast.com. Also, if you would like to be interviewed on the podcast or you know someone that you think would be a great interview guest, I'd also love to hear from you. You can shoot me an email to the same address. If you would like to connect with me personally, the best place to do that is on Twitter. My Twitter handle is @KennethOrtiz. It's KennethOrtiz. Hey, if you love podcasting, check out my other podcast, Theology for the Rest of Us, where I give quick answers to tough questions about God and the Bible. Check it out at theologyfortherestofus.com. Our intro and outro theme music for this podcast has been Actionable by Ben Sound. I'm Kenny Ortiz, and this has been the Student Ministry Podcast.